It's great to have you here today, and we're rolling along quickly towards the weekend. My prayer for you and for myself is that we will see Jesus, as we said yesterday, that we will gaze steadfastly upon him, and that we will not get caught up in the numerous and varied distractions that life in New England throws upon us as we ready our hearts and minds for Christmas. If you're listening and you do not believe in Jesus and you are not yet following him, then my prayer for you, and I really do pray this specifically, is that you'll know Christ this Christmas. Believe me, he's the greatest gift you can ever receive. As I introduce Jesus to you here on God Is, I've been walking together with you through one of the most important sentences in all of the Bible. This is John chapter 1 and verse 14. It reads, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now that may sound straightforward when I just read it, but there's a lot packed into that sentence. And so I've divided this verse in four parts so that it's easily understood. And these parts are, part one, "And the Word became flesh." Part two, "Dwelt among us." Part three, "And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father." We discussed these three parts over the last 3 days. If you were not with us, or if you want to listen again, you can get the podcast of this broadcast from the WEZE website. Just go to 590amtheword.com and click on the podcast tab. God Is will be there. Today, I want to take us into part four of the text. Part four is full of grace and truth. Part four of John 1:14, full of grace and truth. Now, this is just five simple words, full of grace and truth. And yet each word is worthy of a complete study just on its own. So let's be systematic and start with the first word, full. The Greek word is pleires, pleires, and it means abounding in, completely occupied with, and thoroughly permeated with. I love that. It's a profound word, pleires. And in John 1:14, Jesus is abounding in grace and truth. He's completely occupied by grace and truth. Jesus is thoroughly permeated with both grace and truth. Jesus is the fullness of God's grace and the fullness of God's truth. He is fully both at the same time. In Jesus, we experience grace and truth because God is grace and God is truth. The word full is most closely associated actually with the Holy Spirit. For example, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit." Full, Luke 4:1. Jesus abounding in the Spirit. Jesus completely occupied by the Spirit. Jesus thoroughly permeated with the Spirit. After Christmas, we'll be talking more about the Holy Spirit here on God Is. But for today, I just want you to know the connection to full as this word relates Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And if you want an excellent example of an early Christ follower who was full, then read about Stephen. Just read Acts chapters 6 and 7. Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He's also one of the early martyrs for Christ. As tempted as I am to plunge us deep down into a discussion about this one word, full, I'll discipline myself to keep us in John 1, verse 14. And as we return to the text, let's take up the word grace. Jesus is full of grace. Now here again, I have a bit of a problem. The word is so rich, and there's so much to say about it, but the clock is ticking away. That clock just stares me down. And so I will limit what I want to say about grace to the following. Tomorrow, I want to share with you a story that will show and demonstrate for you the grace of Jesus. So please be back for the Friday edition of God Is. But for today, let me emphasize the most important dynamic of Christ's grace. Remember, he is full of grace. We are saved from our sin by God's grace. The reason that God has forgiven me of my sin and has accepted me as his child is all because of his grace. God uses grace to save us from sin. It's not his love that saves us. It is his grace. And no passage is clearer on this than Ephesians 2:8. Let me read Ephesians chapter 2 and the beginning of verse 8. For by grace you have been saved. That's straightforward. Understand this, what saves us from our sin is grace. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 echoes this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. Titus 2:11. The hymn writer John Newton puts grace this way. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Ah, yes, this is God's amazing grace, and Jesus is full of grace. And again, tomorrow we'll see Jesus' grace in action. But Jesus is also full of something else, and that is truth. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, full of grace and truth. And of course, truth goes right alongside grace. How are we saved from sin? By God's grace. But we believe in the truth of Jesus in order to receive God's grace. When someone tells you about Jesus and the grace that he offers, that person is sharing with you the gospel, good news. And what is the gospel? It's the truth. The gospel is the truth about you and the truth about God. Listen again to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, this time Ephesians 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1:13, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. All of us hear the message of truth, and then we believe in Jesus. So Jesus must be truth. He is thoroughly permeated with truth. And this is the truth that every person in this world must hear. The reason I'm doing God is will be so that you hear the truth. Oh, how we need the truth. The world is full, thoroughly permeated with lies. Everywhere we turn, we are hearing lies. Lies about ourselves, lies about others, lies even about who God is, who Jesus is. So what is our source for truth? Our only source for truth is Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus says of himself in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I've been sharing with you what other Christians, who I trust, have said of John 1:14, and Pastor Ray Stedman, who has been in heaven since 1992, but prior to that was the longtime pastor of the Peninsula Bible Church out there in Palo Alto, California, put truth this way. Quote, truth is the manifestation of reality, the unveiling of what is actually there, the stripping off of all the illusions, veils, shams, phoniness, the facades, and getting down to what is actually there, unquote. And I love this because it's a perfect description of truth in Jesus. The truth is the reality. Jesus pulls off the mask of men and women and reveals of us who we really and truly are. Jesus strips away illusions, veils, shams, phoniness, the facades, and he gets down to what is actually there within us. And that is what our world needs. In fact, that is what America is getting. In Hollywood and in Washington and in newsrooms in New York, we're finding out the truth about people. The truth is what is inside a person and in how a person acts and speaks. That's reality. And it's not just in the places I mentioned. The truth must be revealed also in us, all of us. We should not think of ourselves as being so high and mighty. What does Jesus, who is the truth, say about me? What does he say about you? Well, the Greek word here for truth means that which is not concealed, that which is not hidden. Someone pulled together grace and truth in a fitting analogy. Think of a mother and her child. If the child has a dirty face, the mother doesn't scold her son for having a dirty face. She does the loving thing. She gets out the washcloth, and as she is gently applying soap and water, she may say, "My, what a dirty face you have. Tell me how you got your face so dirty." But all the time she's washing that child's face, the mother is washing. She's washing away the dirt, even as she's talking. And my friend, in the analogy, Jesus is that mother. We are the child. The dirt is our sin, and the washcloth is God's grace. And when the mother asks, "Tell me how you got so dirty," that's like Jesus asking us for the truth. And we understand that even as we tell the truth about ourselves, he already knows how we got so dirty. Jesus is both grace and truth. And this completes our understanding of the meaning of John 1 and verse 14. But please come back tomorrow as we end the week together reading a true story about the grace and truth of Christ in action. This will be from another portion of the gospel according to John. But as we end today, I invite you to think about grace and truth. Jesus offers you both. What's the truth about you? Jesus knows it. You can fool me and just about everyone else in your life, but you cannot fool God. Here's the thing, though. You don't have to feel ashamed, because Jesus also offers you grace. It is by grace that you can be saved from your sin. And if you are already following Christ, then it is grace that has saved you from sin. And so now today is the time to accept the truth about yourself and invite Jesus to forgive you. Do this today. There's no better day to turn to Christ than today. And then come back tomorrow and join me as we continue to discover who God is.